Bloomsbury presents For Your Eyes Only, written and read by Ben McIntyre. Author's Note: this book is a homage to Ian Fleming on the centenary of the author's birth and a celebration of James Bond, his greatest creation. It is not a biography of Ian Fleming. Others, notably John Pearson and Andrew Lycett, have already performed that task admirably. Nor is it a biography of James Bond, for that too has been written. It does not purport to be a comprehensive guide to the James Bond phenomenon. For this I recommend Henry Chancellor's Official Companion. Rather, it is a personal investigation into the intersection of two lives, one real and one fictional. As a journalist and writer of non-fiction, I've always been intrigued by the factual origins of fiction. In previous books, I went in search of the 19th century criminal Adam Worth, the model for Professor Moriarty in the Sherlock Holmes tales, and Josiah Harlan, an adventurer who would win literary immortality in Rudyard Kipling's short story, The Man Who Would Be King. All novelists find inspiration in reality. But Ian Fleming, more than any writer I know, anchored the imagined world of James Bond to the people, things, and places he knew. Espionage is itself a shadowy trade between truth and untruth, a complex interweaving of imagination, deception, and reality. As a former officer in naval intelligence, Fleming thought like a spy and wrote like one. This book is an attempt to explore a remarkable double life and to establish, as nearly as possible, where the real world of Ian Fleming ended and the fictional world of James Bond begins. Ben McIntyre, April 2008. Chapter 1: The Scent and Smoke and Sweat of a Casino. One morning in February 1952, in a holiday hideaway on the island of Jamaica, a middle-aged British journalist sat down at his desk and set about creating a fictional secret agent, a character that would go on to become one of the most successful, enduring, and lucrative creations in literature. The circumstances were not immediately auspicious. Ian Fleming had never written a novel before, though he had done much else. He had tried his hand at banking, stockbroking, and working as a newspaper correspondent. As a young man of English privilege, he had toyed with the idea of being a soldier or a diplomat, but neither had worked out. Only during the war, working in the intelligence division of the Royal Navy, had he found a task as an officer in naval intelligence dreaming up schemes to bamboozle the enemy worthy of his vivid imagination. But by 1952, the excitement of the war was just a memory. He had settled into a job as a writer and manager on the Sunday Times, a role that involved some enjoyable travel, a little work, and a lot of golf, women, and lunch. Born to wealth and status, Ian Fleming found his existence undemanding but unsatisfying. Even his best friends would have snorted at the notion that he was destined for immortality. This, then, was the man who, after a morning swim to wash out the hangover of the night before, hunched over the desk in his Jamaican home, Goldeneye, and began to type, using six fingers, on his elderly, royal, portable typewriter. The opening line, after several amendments and corrections, would read, "The scent and smoke and sweat of a casino are nauseating at 3 a.m. Fleming wrote fast, the words pouring out at the rate of 2,000 a day.